Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make cots bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. You know, somebody who is not familiar with the cable carrier in Rhode Island.
Right.
And here's that opening. Jeez, I don't know what they think we're doing here.
That was one of your better rants. Your whole
You're a Cox subscriber.
Oh. That was one of your better
You're
rants.
You're a Cox subscriber.
I forgot all about that.
Oh, that was classic.
Was it?
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
See?
All right, well. Welcome to the show. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots. Paul's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth. But
that's it.
Andy and Paul are getting ready to go to Indianapolis for the combine.
Poor Eric.
Lucky them. Why?
Andy and Eric, not Andy and Paul. Andy and Eric are getting ready to go to the combine.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, you said Paul.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know how very sensitive he gets about
his lack of inclusion. You are an habitual liar.
No, I thought I said Andy and Eric are getting ready to go to the combine. They'll be traveling.
Gets underway Thursday. I've been reading a lot of stuff
about
it.
Well, really
this.
Gets underway tomorrow.
Well, it says.
With some early stuff tomorrow.
Oh, well.
I don't know. You know, nothing really important. But,
stuff, I think, for our purposes.
Yeah.
On Thursday and. Starting to read a lot of, you know, the five guys with something to gain, lose, and that kind of stuff. Some interesting storylines because there are a lot of players that we haven't seen a lot of on the field.
Right.
You know, like the North Carolina guys, you know, one of which, you know, Andy's boy, Quinny.
Right.
Guys that didn't play last year that have something to really gain here. And now maybe the biggest news, Cam Newton has said that he is going to work out. So a lot of different things to sort of look forward to over the weekend.
I was reading there's a ton of running backs available this year, mm-hmm. probably a little deeper pool than last year and at that position. You know, Cam Newton looks like Gil Brandt, I was just reading, said he will go as the first pick.
The first overall pick?
First overall pick.
Wow, I hadn't seen that.
Now, Gil Brandt, of course, is the longtime GM, not GM, but head personnel guy down in Dallas. And he's retired now, basically just does some serious radio and stuff for NFL.com. But, I mean, he's been doing the draft since dirt. And he's pretty good. And he thinks that Carolina is going to take Cam Newton number one. So
I certainly think that he has a great chance to be in the top five.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo might... Actually, take him at
yeah,
three.
I heard Buffalo, you know, I was reading today that
they keep talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick's their guy.
Yeah.
They keep saying, that, you know, we're happy with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they might be setting the smoke screen, as they say.
Sure. All right, so we got all that to talk about. Andy and Eric, I got it right. Andy and Eric will be calling in on Thursday for the Thursday show. Obviously, Combine hasn't started yet, so.
Hopefully, we can line that up with our lunchtime.
Yeah, we told them they don't have to call in today, but they will be there Thursday. They're going to call in during the show. It's going to have a lot of stuff going. And, you know, I was looking at somebody from one of the teams sent an email around to all the other teams saying, hey, who's sending people to the Combine? How many? All the teams are sending at least two writers, if not a whole video crew.
You mean like people like us?
Well, we are.
The team, like the
team.
Yeah,
websites. So all the team websites embrace this as, you know, excellent content.
You know what, Fred? Especially with the lockout coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you have the possibility, I mean, how can you not
be
sending people? This is a lot of coverage, a lot of content.
So in addition to Eric and Andy, Bree Lowe will be there, Brian Lowe from Patriots Today, and we'll have a full video crew there with him. And unlike last year where they kind of got things up mostly when they got back, we're going to have a video editor at the combine with his little, you know, editing machine, and they're going to get videos up throughout the day, every day. So Patriots.com is the place to be if you're interested in the combine. I know a lot of our listeners are. We asked last show who do they want us to follow at the combine. We got a bunch of emails that we'll get to today at webradio@patriots.com. Also, the phone number.
I'm pretty sure, by the way, that Eric has taken a little bit of a list there.
Oh, good.
You know, using a lot of that feedback from the listeners,
yeah,
and they're going to do their best.
Also, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline if you want to call. And so, you know, where else and what other show can you, like, ask the people, hey, when you're out there, take a look at so-and-so? You know, that's the kind of listener, show host cooperation you get with PFW.
It's
and
a
Progress.
Connection. It's a family.
It's a family.
It's a family. It's a large family, but it's a family nonetheless.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that again. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We already have a lot of those we'll be getting to. But some news around the league. Obviously, people know by now that this guy Cohen is now the asked to be or volunteered to be the mediator. They both the union and the owners have accepted that, and they've been out there for 4 days straight now, meeting for over 27 hours, I think it's added up to so far. So far, so good. In that we haven't heard anything negative. We really haven't heard anything positive either, because they've both agreed to have a complete blackout of commenting of the proceedings. So
yeah, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that if there was some bad things going on, like the last time they got together, you know, around the Super Bowl, I think we'd be hearing about some of it.
Maybe.
And I think if there was some good progress being made, we wouldn't necessarily be hearing about it.
Yeah, I think silence is okay in this.
I think so, too.
And but what they both have said, that this guy Cohen is a top-notch mediator, which only really means he's sort of like a marriage counselor. He can't make any rulings. Nothing he says is binding. But at least he can keep them, make them behave.
Right.
To a certain, you know.
And that wasn't happening at the Super Bowl.
No, it wasn't. I mean, you know, you had people walking off in a tiff and all that stuff. And
sure.
You know, at least, you know, they can be on better behavior with this third party in the room. So I think that's a positive. And the fact that they've been meeting for, you know, all these hours straight, that's also a good thing, because that's the only way you're going to get things solved is if you communicate and talk. So. Hey, you know, maybe we're hopeful again. Maybe March 4th isn't completely unrealistic the way I was thinking it might be just a week ago.
Yeah, so, I agree. I'm a little bit more optimistic now than probably I have been. I'm still not completely expecting, you know, March 4th.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think there's a chance. I like the direction it seems to be heading. And I would also agree that, you know, reading some of the stuff about, you know, reading the tea leaves, so to speak, the fact that they've been able to meet now for several hours a day for consecutive days tells me they're probably spending a lot of their time working on things that are more easily agreed upon.
Right.
You know, the rookie wage scale, for example, doesn't seem to be something that the union is fighting very hard
against.
Yeah,
that just seems to be, you just need to work out the details on that, because both sides agree there should be one.
Right.
Right.
You know, so I think that they might be getting some momentum. And I read Florio, I guess that's his theory. I sort of agree with that. Just the fact that you get a couple of things agreed upon, and all of a sudden, okay, we did that, let's do this. Okay, we agreed upon that, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, you know, instead of jumping into what to do about this extra $1 billion that seems to be the big sticking point here, you know, this $9 billion in revenues, the league has been taking $1 billion off the top for, you know, growing the game, so to speak. They now want to get $2 billion. So that seems to be the big stumbling block that the union won't agree to. Instead of jumping right into that, jump into it with some momentum of having agreed upon and done some good back and forth negotiating with four or five other issues that you seem to have been able to agree upon,
right.
And maybe it gets a little bit easier to do it that way. I like that that tact, if that's indeed what's happening.
From what I've read, the smart money is on that when March 4th comes around, that they'll have an extension. They won't have a lockout. They won't have necessarily
I think that would be fabulous.
Have an agreement, but because of the progress of the talks, they'll extend that deadline. So That seems to be where the smart money is right now, and that makes sense. You know, if you're talking, why have a lockout? You know, March 4th is an arbitrary deadline that they came up with. That's just because that's when the league year ends. But, you know, these guys are dealing with their own rules. They're making up their own rules. So they can say, look, we'll give it another month. We'll give it another 2 weeks. And that would make sense if they are talking. So we'll see. Other news going around the NFL. Bob Sanders from the Colts released. I think, you know, I don't know what his contract details were, but I'm assuming that they were enough that the Colts just finally said, you know, this guy's just hurt too much to be, you know, continuing with the contract he had. Was he a free agent or?
Oh, no. No, they released him.
They just released him. So he's done. Supposedly he visited Jacksonville, and word is that he might be visiting with the Bills.
That's everybody's writing today. He will be in Buffalo today.
Yeah.
O.J. Atugwe is another good safety that also was released.
Now, you
from the Rams.
We talked about this morning. You don't want him.
I love Bob Sanders as a player, but no, I just think he's hurt too much. He's damaged goods. You can't really rely on him to play any amount of games. He's played 9 games the last 3 years. And again, I have a lot of respect for the player. I think he's a difference-making kind of player. Very, very good. I would take him on my team in a heartbeat if I had some sort of assurance that he could play 14 games for me. But I don't see how you can feel like that.
Even at a veteran minimum, you wouldn't take him?
Sure, why not? I mean, take a shot for the veteran minimum, but I don't think you can rely on him. That's my point. I don't think that I don't think he's a guy that you can go into any sort of a season thinking that he's going to have any kind of substantive role, because I don't think he can play. I don't think he can stay healthy. He's a small guy. And he plays so recklessly,
yeah.
I don't see that just turning around. He's had high ankle sprains and bicep tears,
yep,
and all different kinds of injuries.
With Indianapolis, he was really asked when he was out there to play the run, more so than most safeties, I think, because Indianapolis weren't really that strong a team defensively. Do you think that maybe with the Patriots or another team, maybe he wouldn't have to be as reckless as he is with them, and maybe he, you know, would stay a little healthier?
That's actually a good point about the way he was asked to play with that particular defense. But would he be as effective if he weren't being asked to play like that, kind of freelancing around? I think guys like that, when you take them away from that around the line of scrimmage aspect, Troy Polamalu, even Rodney Harrison, to a lesser extent, if you just ask them to play safety in a traditional sense, are they as good?
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's out there, but we'll see. Speaking of free agents, which Bob Sanders now is, we get to one email that just came in, and this is from Thomas, who says, I want to play a game. I'll list some top free agents. You guys give me first the most likely landing spot. So here's the free agent, and he wants to know where they might end up. Asamoah from Oakland.
I mean,
people aren't ruling out him re-signing with Oakland.
No, I mean, I think it's impossible to predict where the guy's going to end up. I saw something today about Green Bay that Woodson was saying that he wouldn't mind playing safety to bring him over. I think the Jets are a possibility for him.
Yeah, yep. Other guys... Well, we'll just name them: Sean Rogers, Champ Bailey, D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Cromartie, who the Jets say that they probably won't re-sign, or at least reports say that they say that. Matt Light, he puts on the list. Sidney Rice, who the Minnesota Vikings decided not to tag. They put the tag on
Chad Greenway.
On Greenway, on the linebacker.
Yeah, and they cannot use the transition tag on Rice.
Oh, is that right?
Because he's only a fourth-year guy, and that's another thing I read on Florio
so
today.
So he could be available. Ray Edwards and Pierre Thomas. We also talked about
Pierre Thomas. Patriots.
Yeah.
How's that?
We like Pierre Thomas. We think he's the type of kind of all-around back. He was hurt a little bit, but he's got all those skills. You know, none of them are out-of-this-world skills, but he does everything pretty well. And he's the kind of back that I think the Patriots would do right. He's not old. You know, so maybe Pierre Thomas ends up on the Patriots. Sidney Rice, what about him as a Patriot? I mean, he's a guy that, you know, got hurt last year.
I would take Sidney Rice in a heartbeat, but yeah, that's going to cost you some money.
It's going to cost you some money, but
I like Sidney Rice as a player a lot. I think he's a dynamic playmaker. I loved him in college. Absolutely loved him at South Carolina. And he proved when he came back from the hip injury, came off PUP, he proved he's healthy because he was pretty productive in the second half of the year, despite the fact that they had a revolving door at quarterback there with Minnesota. Didn't put up eye-popping numbers by any stretch, but he made some unbelievable plays.
Yep.
Definitely proved that he was healthy. I like him a lot as a player. I just don't see the Patriots, you know, investing a lot, a lot of free agent dollars in a receiver. That's beating the whole league for a high-profile player, and that's not something the Patriots have generally done in free agency.
Champ Bailey, is there a chance he doesn't go back to Denver?
Seems like it's a small chance.
Yeah.
Seems like he's going to be back in Denver. They're trying to figure out how to do it, how to best situate it. That's a difficult contract. By all reports, he had a great year last year. He played really, really well.
Yeah.
But at that age, it can go quickly for such a dynamic athlete. There's a guy who was like a 4.3 40 guy in his prime.
One of the smarter
lose a step, and all of a sudden, you know, it's tough. So that's a guy that's going to be looking for some money at his age. I don't know how much he's going to get. Certainly not going to get a long-term deal. He's, what is he, 33?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what year he came in the league. He's been around a while, that's for sure. Cromartie, would you even look at him if you're the Patriots? You know, he's got, like we said, he's pretty good one-on-one when a guy goes straight down the field. You can put him on the other team's best straight-line receiver, and he'll do a good job. The question is, how does he do with those quicker?
The Patriots aren't going to look at him because there's some obvious reasons that there's just not going to be a match there. Not physical, not on the field, off the field.
Yeah.
I don't think you can bring a guy on that called your quarterback out like that before a playoff game. I don't think you can bring a guy on board and ask him to come in and play. He's not that good of a player to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a match there. But I do think Cromartie's a pretty good player. I think he's an underrated player, to be honest with you. I think people focus on the things he can't do, and they dismiss the things that he does very well.
And, you know, Thomas includes Matt Light for obvious reasons on the list.
All depends on Logan Mankins.
It does, but even with Mankins coming back, I think that Matt Light would give the Patriots a hometown discount. And I think that, given the case, why not? You know, unless you're going to go out and spend a lot of money for, you know, a top-notch left tackle, right below that level is Matt Light.
But it all depends on what you think a hometown discount is.
Well, you know,
do the Patriots think that's veteran minimum?
No, I think a little bit more for his time of service. You give him more than that.
He's not going to sign for that. So, yeah, I think you got to give him more than.
Sure.
I do think that it won't be about the highest bidder for Matt Light. I agree with you. If the Patriots give him an offer that is in the ballpark with anything that he thinks he could get, I think he'll re-sign. I think his preference would be to stay. I agree with you. And I think there's a better than maybe 60-40, 70-30, somewhere in there that he stays.
Yep. So I think he stays. I really do. I'll say right now that my guess is that he will be here in 2011. So, like I said, if you're going to go out and get a top-notch left tackle, you're going to pay dearly. Unless you get lucky and decide to use a high draft pick.
It is a good draft for tackles.
And you use a high draft pick on a left tackle and hope that right away he can play. But I think that you could do both. I think you draft high for left tackle and you keep Matt Light to kind of mentor him, you know, at least for this year. And maybe move this, you know, maybe you can get one of those guys that can move and play right tackle until Light leaves next year. And then you move, you know, your draft pick over to the left side, because we still don't know how Kazier is going to be. He had the injury, and we don't know how he's going to be physically. So, you know, right tackle, well, he got Vollmer, too. I forgot about him.
Yeah. No, I think that if you drafted one high, I think you'd let Matt Light go. If you drafted one in the first round, I would let Matt Light go and then go with Vollmer and the rookie. And if the rookie's not ready, then you have a veteran like Kazier, And by that time, you might know a little bit more about him physically, because you're talking about almost the end of April, almost May.
Yep.
By the time the draft comes around, so some different things they can do there.
Yep. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482. Liam from Dublin says, delighted it's Tuesday so I can listen to PFW. I listen to the show while working on my thesis, which makes the painful procedure far more bearable. Anyway, given that Bill had so many rookies in the offense last year, will we see a more dynamic Patriots offense in 2011 than we did in 2010? And any chance of a shout-out to my uncle Dennis O'Connor in Watertown, Boston? Absolutely. It's actually Watertown, Mass. It's a separate little city outside of Boston. But shout-out to Dennis O'Connor in Watertown. Anyway.
Dennis!
But, Liam, here's something that I kind of giggled a little bit when you said, will we see a more dynamic offense in 2011 than we did in 2010? Yeah, they could be better, but they were pretty good in 2010. You know, they scored over 500 points, and, you know, I know we look at that last game against the Jets, one of the best defenses in the league, and say that, you know, they'd like to see a more dynamic Patriots offense, but they had all the tools that they needed last year to be successful. When you look at the progress that they made in the red zone, and you know, I know Ben Jarvis Greenellis isn't a dynamic runner, but he had 1,000 yards, and I think they can improve in the running back area. But
scored a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah,
too.
As a whole, I think the offense was pretty good. It can always be improved, but they were dynamic last year. Let's face it; they had one of the league's most dynamic offenses, and all they can do is improve on that to a certain degree.
I agree with you on that. So, I think that their offense is not a problem. There's elements, I think, that can always be improved upon. I think you can always get better. And you would never go into a season saying, we don't need to touch anything here. You know, regardless of how well you performed. But that's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
They're going to move the ball and score points against most teams. Now, what they have to do is figure out how they can do that if someone chooses to take away the outside wideouts. If you have a team with two good corners that can somewhat neutralize Welker and Branch, how do you go about combating that? And I think that Bill will do that. I think he'll find different ways. And don't forget, you know, the offense down the stretch too, there were elements that with, you know, Aaron Hernandez's injury, which, by the way, we probably should mention he underwent hip surgery. According to the Hartford Courant, Hernandez appeared at an event for his brother, actually, in the Hartford area, and I was speaking to a bunch of kids, some high school kids, I believe, if not younger, and it was revealed that he underwent hip surgery. He says he's doing well. That surgery has been compared to one that Tim Thomas, the Bruins goaltender, underwent, and Thomas is having a fantastic season at a much older age, by the way. He's in his mid-30s. So he came back from the same surgery and has been better than ever. So I don't think a huge thing to worry about. But it did limit Hernandez down the stretch last year.
We were wondering what happened to
that
him.
That may have been an element
of
why they had a hard time finding options.
Yep.
Like I said, I agree with you, Fred, 100%. I don't think the offense was dynamic and not a huge problem. There are some tweaks I'd like to see, but nothing major.
There's definitely tweaks. I think they need to solidify the offensive line a little bit.
I'd like to see another receiver come in, too.
I'd like to see another receiver, and if there's a running back that they really like, go get him. And I think it's also a good sign that Bill O'Brien was given the title of offensive coordinator a couple weeks ago, or was it even a couple weeks ago, less than that. I think that's a sign that, you know, Belichick could have gone the other way, too, you know. So, but that's a sign of confidence that, okay, he's ready to give him the coordinator's title, and that shows continuity. I'm sure that wouldn't have happened unless Brady was also happy with the move, because I think that Belichick, you know, respects Brady's opinion pretty much as anyone on that offense. So that's all good signs for the offense. This offseason is all about making that defense better. It is all about making that defense better. Though that's your number one priority, and then to whittle it down even more, figuring out pass rush.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That is the number one priority because, you know, we were talking today, and Brian Morey, the executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, was up there.
And, presented by Raytheon.
You know, he was going on about
exposing himself as
the offense needs to dedicate to the run and all this stuff. And we were saying, look, Brian, if you think that at times the offense looked a little bit anxious or impatient, in my opinion, it's because of the defense. It's because they weren't confident that, hey, if we dedicate a couple drives to the run and we don't score any points, our defense will keep us in the game. I know they'll never admit that, and they never should, but I believe in the back of their mind, they did think that because, you know, the defense had trouble getting off the field. They had trouble, you know, keeping the other team from sustained drives. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets an offensive coordinator a little bit anxious and, you know, I got to score. I got to score. You got to improve that defense this offseason. That is the key.
Yeah, I'm with you because the only way they stopped anybody last year was turning it over. And if you don't do that, you're in trouble. And, you know, you finished last in the league on third down. That's an area that Bill has got to address, and I know he will.
Yep.
And you do have the opportunity not only to get some players in the draft, which is what you want to do and you've been calling for a couple of months now, Freddie, but you're also going to add in, hopefully, some healthy bodies in Ty Warren, in Lee Bodden, maybe even a guy like Brandon McGowan as another safety, which I think is a pretty good area of the team, that safety position. So you have a chance to add in some established players along with the guys that you want to draft.
And you need to increase, though, I think, quality depth at the linebacker and defensive line position because there will be injuries. Somebody will get injured. You know, it could be Jerod Mayo. It could be Brandon Spikes. It could be Guyton. It could be, you know, Warren again or, Will, you know, God forbid, Vince Wilfork. You know, the injuries are going to happen. So you need the quality depth. I think they did well along the, you know, defensive line last year bringing in Jerod Warren. I think if it hadn't been for him, it would have been just Vince Wilfork all year. You know, so, you know, that's really important. Mike Wright will be back, hopefully. You know, so that'll be an added, you know, piece of depth there. But you need to get more depth at linebacker and defensive line. That is your number one priority in the offseason, in my opinion. I think that makes the offense better. That alone makes the offense better. It allows them to be a little bit more patient, take some chances. You know, if you go three and out, okay, no big deal. We've got a good defense. It helps your offense when you have a defense that you can fall back on.
Yeah, I'm with you too. And I do linebacker. It's not just depth; they need players at linebacker.
Yeah, they and that outside. I'm talking about
they have Jerod Mayo.
Yeah,
that's it.
Inside I mean, they need depth. Outside they need playmakers.
You have some guys that you're intrigued with guys like Brandon Spikes and maybe Jermaine Cunningham, but certainly by no means are you set there. You have to find some more players there and add to your depth there, as you said. And I think that things fall into place from that because I think every good defense has a core of linebackers that they can rely on.
I'm going to take a break, but before we do, I'll tease this. David writes in, and he's from the 515 area code.
The 515?
He has an interesting question about the defense that he'd like to pose, and it is pretty interesting. We'll get to it right after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right. Back here in PFW in progress, 508. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And Paul, I guess our spies were out this weekend, and they saw you at the Northeastern hockey game.
Oh, that's true. I saw Kevin at the Northeastern hockey game.
Oh, was that our spy? Was our spy outed?
Yeah.
But he said you were really into it.
What do you think?
Like you were acting like a fan.
I am a fan. Like, I try to tell you that all the time. Like, you say that I'm not a fan.
After every goal, you were, like, going crazy?
Well, that's a little strong. You get up and clap.
No, he said you were going nuts.
He was shirtless for part of it, I think.
Well, there was that time briefly in the second period where I took my shirt off, but I didn't know if anybody noticed
that. And before the game, you single-handedly supported one of the concession booths?
That's how I picked him out. That's how I picked him out of the crowd. That's true, actually.
Chicken fingers and fries.
In a diet beverage.
In a tub of diet Pepsi.
I noticed him by the diet beverage in the Northeastern baseball cap. I could pick him out from a mile away.
That's good. So what was this, Sunday?
It was Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Paul was with his brother and I was with a few buddies.
BC Northeastern.
Wow.
Northeastern triumphed, by the way, Freddie. It's a big win for them.
Good win.
Didn't BC win the Beanpot this year?
Yeah. Who do they think they beat?
Northeastern?
7-6 in overtime. Then they played the next week.
Yeah, the teams played three times.
Three times in 6 days they played. 7-6 in overtime, 7-7, 2-1 Northeastern.
About as even as you can get.
So now,
unfortunately, Northeastern lost the one that counted.
Now, do you sit like right at center ice? Do you have like?
No, I sit on the blue line.
At the blue line.
Yeah.
Do you yell at the ref a lot? Do you yell at the ref a lot?
Not anymore.
No?
You
were asked to stop?
No. The rink was redone. I resigned about, 20 years ago now. In the old days, the penalty boxes used to be right in front of our section, directly in front of us. Now they moved them to the opposite side.
Yeah, the blue one, yeah.
So back in the days when it was a combination, Freddie.
Yeah.
Back when I was really in my leather-lunged you know, mindset.
Yeah.
And I was a little younger, and then the press box was right there. I mean, the penalty box was right there, so I could I used to get out of control on the refs. It's kind of hard to get them to hear you, so you don't want to waste your good stuff.
Did you pick, like, the...
Imagine if there were women refs. You'd be out there fighting them.
Oh, that'd be terrible. But did you pick the height of your seat so you could, like, just see over the glass?
No.
Because some people I know don't like to look through the glass and will sit, like, just above. I didn't know if you...
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to have to look through the glass if you didn't have to, but no, I mean, I don't know why we picked those seats. That's where we've been sitting for, you know.
That second tier is pretty good, though.
Once the balcony is excellent, but
yeah, I like it.
What happened with the balcony is, and this is thrilling talk for everybody around the country, around the world. The balcony, the Northeastern didn't always draw as well as they had a sellout Saturday night, Freddie, so it was pretty full. And
2,000?
Yeah, about 46,
yeah,
66.
Yeah, that's what they said. They were a lively bunch. It was pretty loud.
They have lost a lot of seats over the years with the various refurbishings at Matthews Arena. It used to hold over 6,000. Now it's down to about 4,700.
Why'd they change it to Clay Matthews Arena?
Because they wanted to get on the program.
Oh, okay. Before the break, we were talking about the defense, and I think that it should be the number one priority in the offseason, specifically getting that pass rush going and getting some depth at linebacker and defensive line. But David Beyer poses a question. He says, would you bring back Mangini if you knew he would make your defense better, even after what he did about the Patriots?
Yep.
I would, too. I'm all about second chances. And
I'm all about doing what's best for the team.
Right.
If you answered the question for me, would he make my defense better? David says he would. That's how he posed the question. So if he's going to make my team better, I'm bringing him back. Put my ego aside, and I do something to make the team better.
Sure. And I think Bill Belichick would, too. I think you can tell from what Mangini has said since then that he would really like to be friends with Bill Belichick.
I think that they're probably not all not as estranged as maybe some of us think they are.
Right. But as we've noticed so far in the offseason, Bill Belichick is not named a defensive coordinator. He's moved Matt Patricia to safeties, mm-hmm. Gotten rid of Corwin Brown.
Yep.
Other than that, the defense is pretty much the same, with Bill Belichick basically remaining the defensive coordinator.
So do you think there's still a chance that a guy like Mangini would come in and
I don't know.
Run the defense?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Where is he coming? He's involved with who? Is it a UFL team that Mangini might be part of?
Oh, really?
What was the report? Kevin, look up on the PFW blog. There's something that Andy wrote, I think on Thursday last week, maybe Friday. It was sort of tongue-in-cheek about Mangini coming back to New England. But it was I don't know, see what it was for. I forget if it was a job or if he was coming to speak or whatever. It's typical of me in my old age. I can remember something that happened in 1982, but not today.
Right. Well, we'll see. But the Patriots did bring in another coach.
For the defense? Patrick Graham was promoted from just a coaching assistant to linebacker.
They brought
coach.
In a guy from Florida.
Oh, you're talking about George Godsey?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this last week?
I don't think so.
Maybe we just talked about it on the podcast. He's a former quarterback at Georgia Tech. I think he played for Chan Gailey there. Sort of a pedestrian Division I quarterback. He's been coaching at a – I don't have his whole – I think Central Florida is where he came from.
Right.
Most recently from here. He's going to be an offensive assistant. He'll be a coaching assistant. Working on offense.
The Mangini thing was he may be the defensive coordinator of the Hartford Colonials.
So I was right. It was the UFL.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the New England
region. Is
that region.
Just speculate? Because I know Mangini has some Connecticut roots, but is it just because of that people are thinking he might do that, or is there actual evidence that he might do that? Because
Can you read it?
If I was
read
him,
it right
I'd,
now.
I'd rather take a year off than do that. Doesn't says, that isn't
maybe
that
he wants to coach. Maybe
know,
he just likes to coach. You ever think of that?
I'd go help out at the high school before I do that. Honestly.
the high school.
So you think that's a faster track to the NFL?
No, he doesn't need a fast track to the NFL.
No, but he wants to get. I'm sure he wants to get back in the league.
Right, but people know who Mangini is. I don't think he needs to prove anything in the UFL before. You know,
I know, but he wants to coach at a professional level.
Yeah, but that
not at a high school level.
That's a joke. He shouldn't do that.
Why is it a joke?
Bad move for his career.
But why is the UFL a joke?
Why is it?
Yeah.
It's just a joke.
Okay.
It's just a joke.
I didn't know that was in our bullet points.
UFL's
a joke, Kevin.
Do you want me to read this?
You know,
yes.
If he's that anxious about doing something, like I said, go help out at the local high school.
At the Y?
Oh, yeah. But
I just think football? If you want to coach in the professional level, you coach in the professional level.
Anyway, it says Mangini is a native of Hartford and went to college in Connecticut at Wesleyan University. Since being let go by the Browns after the season, and with Chris Palmer, who was the former head coach of the Columbus,
who, by the way, just got a job as a coordinator in the NFL out of the UFL.
Yeah, the Titans, it says.
Right. Out of that joke league.
He's one of the people we would hope to talk to, said Colonials owner Bill Mayer. What comes out of that, I don't know. I've been looking at our Facebook site.
So they are going to talk to him. Okay.
And it has certainly generated a lot of conversation. Okay. So it's drumming up PR for them.
I'm not saying that's a great move for Mangini. I agree with you on that, Fred, for the most part. But if he wants to there might be something contractually for him. I don't know. I mean, he got fired, so I don't know what contractually would be.
Oh, maybe he
can. But maybe there's something that, you know, part of his, you know,
you got part of his contract.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be something that we don't know about.
Yeah. Greg from the billing department writes in, what's up, fellas? Eric and Pete Shepard are definitely included. Before we get into it, we have an excuse to skip at least one commercial break. The following is for Andy to read, even though Fred has probably already read this part aloud. Well, Andy's not here, so I'm going to have to read it. It says, good afternoon. This is Andy Hart from PFW. PFW in Progress and all other syndicates that will take me and help solidify my legacy of the best internet radio broadcaster ever, plus my poo smells of cinnamon and sugar, in case you haven't noticed. I love to talk trash, but what you might not know is that I love to recycle, too. And for all of my recycling needs, I turn to Waste Management, your leader in recycling and thinking green, but not jet screen. From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Wow. All right, so I'm finally over the whole losing to the Jets, and I stepped down from the ledge. I wouldn't have cared so much if it was any other team, but it was the effing Jets. I hate the Jets more than I hate any team in any sport, so it really hurt when we lost. And when Fred came back on the radio that following Tuesday and said that he was already over it, I was devastated. I understand that this team overachieved and that it wasn't a colossal failure that we lost in the playoffs, but it was a colossal disappointment because it was the Jets and the fact that they didn't beat us, we beat ourselves. But I'm over that. So as much as I'd like to talk about the draft and what the Pats can do to better solidify their team with all of their picks, though, through the draft itself or through trade, there's really not a whole lot to talk about until the CBA is renewed. If it gets renewed before the draft, do you think the Pats will use two of their higher picks to trade to get a solid veteran at a position of need? I really am talking about making a trade for Fitz, even though I know he's not really up on the market. What about trading draft picks to get a higher one to get a top-tier pass rusher? Are either one of those possibilities, assuming the CBA is met before 2 weeks before the season? Well, I'm going to get out of here for now, but I'd like to get you guys lunch one of these days, so just let me know. Go Celtics and Bruins for now.
There you go, Kevin.
There's another one to put on your list.
I think that, you know, the trading is definitely in play. Now, obviously, he's right about the players. They won't be able to trade for players if the CBA doesn't get worked out. But, yeah, I would be surprised if the Patriots didn't take part in their normal trading activity during the course of a draft weekend. Good email overall. I agree with him about the Jets, by the way. It does. I know it's stupid. I know it's silly, but the fact that it was the Jets does hurt more.
Oh, sure.
You know, everybody hates the Jets. Yep. Who likes them?
Oh, it killed me.
It's weird because Rex Ryan, I don't find Rex Ryan as offensive as a lot of Patriots fans do, but it's still the Jets. He's still coaching the Jets. I wish he coached like the Rams or someone that I didn't, you know, because I would find him highly entertaining if I didn't hate the team so much. I think he bothers me because it's the Patriots' chief rival.
Well, I think a guy like Rex, it's great that he's in the New York, you know.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. He probably wouldn't work if he wasn't in New York.
Mike in Rhode Island says, I know we brought up Brandon Merriweather's potential trade value a few times after his second Pro Bowl, assuming this CBA process wraps up sooner than later, you think all the safeties available in free agency that we could bring in to replace him increases the likelihood of this happening? Or do you think all these guys available would make the chances of anyone trading for him low? That's a good question.
I'm not sure I understand it.
He's thinking, do you think all the safeties that are available would make the chances of us trading him more likely or less likely? Because there's so many safeties available.
Well, probably less likely. Right. I mean, if there's more players available at a position, wouldn't that make it less likely?
But sometimes a team will rather trade for a guy than sign a free agent because there's a contract in place and it's cheaper. They don't have to give a bonus.
There's a reason he's cheaper.
Right.
Not as good.
Okay.
I mean, if they were just like regular JAG safeties, a Tugway and Sanders are better players than Merriweather. Right? Well, all right, just move on then if you had to think about that. Go.
Well, who would you rather have right now, Sanders or Merriweather?
Sanders.
Even with his injury?
Yeah, that's how little I think of Merriweather.
Okay. All right.
I would rather have nobody than Merriweather.
Oh, now, come on.
No, I'm serious. I'd rather have just McGowan, Sanders, James Sanders, and Chung, just those three, than have Merriweather with them.
All right.
I think he plays too much. I don't think he's a very good player. I just don't.
Anthony in London says, I'm unable to listen live, so apologies if you hit this already, but Adam Schefter has just tweeted that Carolina is not going to use the franchise tag on D'Angelo Williams. I know Paul is against using a high draft pick on a running back, so I was curious to find out how he would feel about grabbing him in free agency, whenever that may be. My feeling is 2 years for $3 or $5 million. What do the rest of you guys that aren't so
total?
Anti-running back in the draft think for a proven back like Williams? Or
two,
do you go
2 years
to the draft?
For $3 to $5 million total?
I think you meant per year.
Oh, then no, I'm not interested.
Really?
No. Well, it's the worst. To me, it's the reason why I don't want to use a high draft pick on a running back is even magnified by a free agent running back. Now he already has, 4 years worth of, 5 years worth of tread on the tires. 5 years, right? Yeah. Williams was Maroney's year, I believe.
Right.
'06.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, he's a terrific player. If I could get him for a good, now if he, like he said, a short-term contract, 2 or 3 years for, $6 million, $7 million. Yeah, I would take a gamble on that. He's an excellent player. And I think he's still pretty good, even though his production was way down on a very bad offense last year with no quarterback. I think he'd be a good player in New England. Absolutely, I'd be interested in getting a guy like that. But I think it's going to cost you more than that. Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you think he's a pretty high-priced free agent if he gets out there in the market?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to want some guaranteed money.
He's going to want a big signing bonus,
yep.
And he's going to want a 5-year deal. That's what prime free agents get.
Ken Walter writes in, he says, Dear Pete Shepard, I know how you feel. Mike Thomas never returns my calls either. Pete, I guess, was on Facebook, and he had a bombshell that he wanted to drop on the Boston media on Monday. And I don't know if it was kind of a bombshell as much as it was a sparkler, you know, those kinds you hold up on 4th of July.
Yeah, he was.
He's very upset.
I think he kind of oversold it.
Yeah.
Last week on Friday, he told everybody if his demands weren't met by 5 p.m. on Monday, that he would be, quote, taking hostages.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
He would be taking hostages.
Right.
And telling all about the Boston radio scene. Was very down on the program directors in this town. And not you, Freddie, because you were the one program director. Because let's face it, you are the program director here at Patriots.com.
He threw us a
radio.
Shout out, Freddie.
Did he?
Right, you're the guy.
Right.
You're in charge of Patriots.com radio in our family. And you gave Pete an opportunity here to be heard on the Pete Shepard Show on Tuesdays, right?
Right.
And, just to let everybody know, the Pete Shepard Show did very well for a once-a-week show.
Certainly
the best out of our shows that were only on like that sporadically.
Right.
He, by far and away, had the best numbers of those shows.
Yep.
Let's not put him in PFW in progress territory.
Well,
but he did very well, and unfortunately, Pete came out with his tirade today that was really just saying why these program directors won't put him on the air. He doesn't understand. He can't get these people to call him back. He can't get an explanation. He can't do this. He can't do that. He was very upset.
I think what Pete needs to do, I have a couple suggestions for Pete. First, with his, he needs to mobilize his following. One thing these program directors do listen to are the listeners. So if he has his following.
Is this what I should be doing?
Well, yeah.
I don't have a following.
If he had his following making the calls to 98.5.
Freddie, can you make that call?
Maybe they return his call. The second thing is, in the meantime, he should go to a place like Blog Talk Radio, which is, you can go there online and create your own talk show. They'll give you a phone number, the whole thing. It's free. You can schedule it anytime you want. They'll give you the tools to email out your following to let them know when your show is on. And then you can create a podcast out of it after the live version. Get that going. Get the Pete Shepard going on Blog Talk Radio or a place like that. And, you know, keep it going. Keep the momentum that you created on Patriots.com radio going during the off season. So then when a radio station does return your call, you give them a show intact. It's already going.
When you get the Pete Shepard going.
Right. So that's my suggestion.
You know, listen, we all like Pete. We wish him the best, but I think that's not necessarily the best way to go about it.
And he might have to be willing to move.
Well, that's the other thing is he initially on his Facebook rantings was talking about moving to Florida.
Right.
Hey, that was another ultimatum he kind of put out there.
Right.
Like, if I don't get this in a month, then I'm going south. So we would have had Pete doing Marlins talk and Dolphins talk instead.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, jeez.
Pete talking about the Dolphins?
Hey, if someone was signing my check, I could easily...
No, I know, but Pete's whole shtick is...
Pete's a homer.
He'd
be so a homer then.
He would have had to flip the switch real quick.
But it wouldn't be the same.
No, he'd have to get out of the AFC East. I could see him going to, like, Oakland, you know?
Being a member of the black hole.
But my point being that... I don't think it's fake. He is a homer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's an act, though. I think he legitimately is over-the-top psychotic about the Boston sports teams.
Sure.
He wouldn't have that for who – he would have to fabricate it.
I think that whether it's 98.5 or EEI, they should give him the night show. I really do. He's perfect, you know, because that's when the hardcores come out.
I always thought that he was going to get the night show at EEI.
Yeah, forget this weekend
stuff.
They used to
make fun of him. Remember the Big Sexy After Dark?
Yeah.
I think that would have been a perfect thing for him.
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of a night guy. You know, he's much more concerned about that kind of stuff in, you know, the city life, the nightlife and whatnot. I think that would have been a perfect mix for him.
You know, after each show he could sign off where people can meet him. You know, so... All right, that's it for the Pete Shepard Show. Meet me at Rosie O'Grady's. I'll be there.
Rosie O'Grady's.
You know, something like that.
did I miss something? What is that?
I don't know. It's just typical.
It's something
Boston
he just made up.
You couldn't go out five nights a week. It would only be probably on like Friday nights or something.
You know,
like that.
It was kind of like the Black Rose.
Yeah, Black Rose is good.
With
yeah.
I don't know who
O'Grady is.
You know, you could say like, meet me in the green room, and tonight it's at Rosie O'Grady's, or you know. Matt McMillan.
Come do greenies with me?
Yeah.
Do karaoke with Pete after he does the show.
Yeah, Big Sexy After Dark.
He was big into that.
Sure.
Anyway, now that we've taken care of Pete Shepard's employment future.
Yeah. Fred in Halifax
says, I've got to find a way to take care of myself.
Hey, Eric and the other guys. I maybe people are tuning in, but Eric and Andy are getting ready to go to Indy. So they're not here. But they'll be calling in on the Thursday show from the Combine. With all the latest news. So they're not here. It's just me, Paul, and Kevin. Where's Doc?
He hasn't come down to get his lunch, so I'm kind of getting concerned about him. He hasn't even responded.
Is he okay?
Why does he even have lunch?
Well, usually he comes down. That's the reason why he comes down,
I know.
Why does he even have lunch?
Fred in Halifax says, hey, Eric and the other guys, I've been trying for weeks to get you guys to discuss this topic. What had made Tom Brady the quarterback he is today? What has happened since Michigan that turned him from a sixth-round pick to the top quarterback in the league? Nobody saw this coming, and I'm wondering what you guys think have been the major factors.
It's an excellent question.
It's a good point.
I don't know exactly what the right answer would be, other than I just think that he has things that you can't teach.
Yeah, I think people point to his competitive drive, his brains, and you know, he does have a, you know, as far as his arm and accuracy, he's up there with the best in the league.
Yeah, I like your first stuff, but I think it's more mental physical. I think there's a lot of guys physically that can stack up with him.
Yep.
I don't think there are a lot of guys mentally that can.
And that's the difference.
And that's stuff that you just couldn't know.
Yep. That's the difference. And, you know, in Michigan, he shared quarterback duties with Henson, you know.
But you couldn't know how adept he was at,
obviously,
at reading defenses and all that kind of stuff. It was impossible to know for sure.
You know, and he was drafted in the sixth round. I don't know. If the Patriots hadn't drafted him, could he have gone undrafted?
Oh, well, I mean, you get that late, and certainly you can go undrafted.
Yeah.
You get drafted in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, there's a chance that you could have gone undrafted, because there's a chance that only one team liked you. Do you know what I'm saying? If everybody passes on you five times, there's a chance that no one liked you enough to draft you.
Yep.
Now, my guess is that if he was an undrafted rookie free agent and got the same opportunity with the Patriots, he would be Tom Brady, just like he is today.
Right.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
You know, to see if he went to somebody else. I always like to play that game. You think if the guy went somewhere else, if he would have had this, you know, the one you always throw out there, Arizona. You know, the Cardinals just stunk every year until they finally got good with Kurt Warner. But can you imagine if he, in 2000, was drafted in the sixth round by the Arizona Cardinals? There's probably a better-than-average chance that he was out of the league in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't ready to play as a rookie.
No.
I mean, we saw that firsthand. He was skinny and frail and couldn't throw. He didn't have anywhere near the arm that he had the following year after a full year in the Patriots system. And the way they developed him, he developed not just from a mental standpoint, he developed physically. He's much bigger than he was when he was first drafted.
Yeah, I remember looking at the combine picture of him.
Well, watch that. This week, there'll be a lot of those clips, and they'll show Tom Brady. He's standing there. He's like a scarecrow.
Right.
He's got absolutely no muscle definition,
whatsoever. I mean, if you saw him on the beach, you'd be just like,
wow,
just some,
that guy's an NFL quarterback?
Right, some kid. Jordan London, this is my first season listening to the show. I've heard you mention a draft show before, and I was wondering if you could let me know how the draft show works. Also, Fred, come draft day, is it possible to do most or all of the show in your excellent British accent? Possibly.
Fred, people are calling for a return of the British accent. That was a big winner.
We'll see. It depends on where in Britain the email is from. Is it Welsh?
Because you have different dialects,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just like in America, we have Southern accents and New York accents.
Can you do a Southern accent?
Southern Britain?
Oh, sure.
You know.
Oh, sure. So draft shows, Freddie.
Yeah, draft show.
We'll have three again like we did last year.
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Times to be determined, but we'll try to sync it. So the one on the first round on the Thursday night will be, so we're on the air when the Patriots select at 17. So we'll have to figure out what time that will be, but we'll be on. What did we do last year?
I think we did 3 hours.
3 hours each day, or two hours?
I think it was either 3 to 6 or 6 to 9 on Thursday. 6 to 9, I think, on Thursday.
3 hours each day?
I think so. But we'll have to look at the schedule and see. But we'll definitely have
a live show on
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And we'll also, starting probably shortly after the boys get back from the combine, on Wednesdays, we'll start doing our draft podcasts each on Wednesday afternoons, where we look at each position and we'll sort of give you a rundown of a preview of the draft eligible players and what Eric and Andy thought of them at the combine, who we think is rising, who we think is falling, what kind of chances we think the Patriots may be interested, you know, where we think the Patriots might take that position, and the guys that, you know, for example, we think they might take a guy in the fifth round. Well, who were some of the middle round guys that'll be on the board that we like? We'll give you a sort of a preview of the draft by position, starting probably in about 2 or 3 weeks on Wednesday afternoons.
And the draft shows itself, always something good comes out of those shows, something memorable.
Oh, well, last year, you'll never top last year.
Well, and then the year before with the Mendenhall stuff. But
there was nothing like last year when you started swearing at everybody when we weren't on the air.
Well, that was the problem is we were on the air.
But you were the only one.
Right. Let's see. Sean wants to know if we've ever seen the mascot for the Rhode Island School of Design. It looks like Andy. So I'm assuming it has a big head. All those mascots look like Andy.
That's a good point. Never thought of that. Michigan State Spartans.
Yeah.
Andy.
The
Sparty.
The cowboy. The guy from SMU. What's the big cowboy head? Oh, that's the Dallas Cowboys have the cowboy.
Oklahoma
mascot.
State Cowboy?
Sooners?
I don't know.
Anyway. Boomer Sooner?
Basically, anybody with a big head looks like Andy.
Right. Stewie.
Yes, that's a good one. Or Hey Arnold, the football head.
Well, Stewie's one that the listener's been calling Andy that for years.
Hey, by the way, remember two shows ago, a guy named Gabe called in or wrote in?
Oh, yeah.
And then he was very mad because we mentioned, you know, well, it turns out it was all a hoax.
Right.
Gabe writes in and he said, just listen
to this one down too, Kevin.
Just listen to the replay of the Thursday show, the greatest show ever. I laugh so much. You guys are so funny. Harsh. This is truly the greatest prank someone has ever pulled on me. Keep up the great work. I guess somebody else from his email address wrote in about his girlfriend crying because we said he should get a hotter girlfriend, and it wasn't even him.
I don't know how many times I can say this. I was wrong.
So all's well that ends well, and you know, maybe Gabe does have a hot girlfriend. Who knows?
Maybe he does.
Yeah.
But if so, why is he listening to us instead of that?
So...
nobody wants to listen to a girl nagging at you, even if she is hot.
That's true.
It's a fair point.
Who says she's nagging him?
Well, I don't know. She's talking to you in the middle of the day. She's probably nagging you to do this, nagging you to clean the gutters and all that stuff.
The whole point was he was
listening.
Sounds
like you had a rough weekend there, Kevin.
I had a fine weekend. lovely weekend, Freddie.
Kevin got a new truck.
Good. I'm a truck guy.
You got a new truck?
I'm like Gary now.
Already?
I'm a truck guy, yeah.
He's a truck guy.
Wow. Is this from insurance? Or you just
I'll get the insurance check this week. I put some money down yesterday on it.
So what'd you get?
A Ford F-150 Super Cab. It's a nice truck.
So now you haul a lot of stuff?
Well, I'm actually going to be moving this weekend, and my parents are
also
moving.
So you get the truck to move?
Well, not just to move, but yeah, it'll help.
So what are you going to be using the truck for in all the other days?
Tow a boat, do whatever I need.
So you see a lot of truck use in your future?
Yes, I do. I can't wait.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
I can actually tow cars with it. I have tow hooks on it.
Sometimes people get trucks for no apparent reason.
No, I think it'll definitely
15
be
15 miles to a gallon.
Well, actually, the average, if you average highway and the non-highway, is around 18. It gets 22 highway.
That's not bad.
And then something like 14 around town.
That's pretty good.
Like that. It's not terrible.
I didn't realize they were that low. I knew they were kind of bad on.
My car's 18.
Well, we know.
My dad actually, Freddie, his is like 12 or 13. He drives an 87 Bronco, an XLT, the O.J. Simpson mobile.
Jeez.
And he gets like nothing. I mean, he'll drive to Braintree.
What's it cost you to fill your
20
tank?
$20.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, nowadays.
Like, if it's pretty empty, what does it cost you? $50?
Yeah, 45.
It's going to cost me over 100.
Yeah.
Because I have a 36-gallon tank now. Times $3 a gallon.
And how much do you have? How many miles do you go?
It's just 20 miles round trip a day.
No, but how many miles do you go on a full tank?
Over 300. Yeah.
Yeah. I get close to like 450.
Wow. Well, my wife
That's
has one of those
get.
Diesels. She gets over 40 miles a gallon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really good.
A Volkswagen diesel.
I also figured, too, Freddie, that since I'm moving, my commute's not going to be nearly as far. So I didn't figure too much of the gas into the situation.
Are you going to get a sleeve for the bed? You're going to get a...
Rhino?
Well, it came with a bed
liner.
It
came with that? Yeah.
I got that in there.
Yeah. You got that?
That's good. You got the man step on the back so you can step off of it?
No man step.
No?
No.
Okay. That's good. Get yourself a truck. That's great. webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Let's take a quick break. It's 105. We'll be right back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got too naked.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I don't know what's so funny about talking about
turf.
That's all it is.
Turf talk with Fred Kirsch.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's hope Ace Ticket has some tickets to sell this year. CBA, are you, while we're on the air, are you checking Twitter?
Yeah, I've been
Kevin,
checking Twitter, and
making
also
sure
I get
that in case anything breaks during the show, we know about it.
You'll know
when okay. News breaks.
Now Twitter
is
Twitter part of your Facebook page? Because I see that a lot.
No, I have two separate entities.
I'm only kidding. All right. GR Rick from the Netherlands says the show is one and probably the only thing for foreign people living across the world like me. That keeps us up to date and gives us news and et cetera over the Patriots. You know, I appreciate that, and there's more to this email, but I have to stop right there for a second. I love the fact that people think that this is their one and only way to keep in touch with the Patriots. But everybody else is on the internet, too. I mean, there's a million ways to keep in touch with the Patriots. I'm glad that they're choosing this one.
Yeah, no, we're the one and only way, Fred. Let's keep it that way.
But we just talk Patriots-specific stuff.
No, that's true.
If you went to WEEI.com or 98.5, you wouldn't get that. It'd be all baseball right now.
And I think that Kevin's right. I think if you were a Patriots fan living in Germany or somewhere in Europe,
right,
you don't want to deal with, well, maybe they're talking about the Patriots today.
True.
You want to know. I'm going to log in, and I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to download the podcast now.
Right.
And I'm going to get Patriots talk for 2 hours. And we give you a good solid hour, 15 minutes.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, everybody. Fred is once again transfixed by the latest infomercial.
This one actually looks like you have to work hard. I don't know.
Well, they all look like you have to work
this
hard.
This is like this new Army training thing. It's like
totally ripped.
Yeah. What's it
called? Backworkout.com.
Wow. With fitness trainer Owen McKibben. Anyway,
give him a free shout out.
McLovin.
anyway,
McMuffin.
GR Rick goes on. If you guys weren't making this anymore, I would have no update. No way to update the news anymore, since ESPN and other websites are about nothing at all useless news.
See?
And not related to my team. So there you go. You need to email the front office and let them know. Too bad I couldn't listen live this week, but some dude across the street from me decided to stab a dude over 50 times, and now we have some police suits keeping us out of our sleep for over 5 days. I wonder who you guys would think would make the best progress after being so he goes right into that into the draft. I wonder who you guys would think would make
stabbed.
The best progress after being drafted by the Patriots, seeing a lot of late drafted guys turn out being better than the picks in the first round, like Brady. Well, we're going to get into all that, not today though. But that's something. I wonder how the guy that got stabbed 50 times made out.
Probably not well.
Yeah. So,
50 times, it seems like a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Unless it's all in the same hole. And then, you know.
Then it's okay.
Then it could be okay.
How would you know he got stabbed 50 times if it was all in the same
I don't know.
Hole?
Maybe people were like, one, two, watching and counting.
You are insane.
I don't know.
That's why we love you, though.
Let's see. Zach has a player to watch. He wants Eric and Andy to watch Akeem Ayers. We talked about him. He's has the size and skill to play outside linebacker in a 3-4.
Yeah.
He could go pretty high. He's one of the higher rated. I think he's out of UCLA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know. Let's see. A lot of emails coming in. Trying to get a good selection here. Let's see. Aaron writes in, gentlemen, I'm a first-time emailer, an avid listener.
Wow.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Had to finally reach out to you guys regarding the Patriots punking at home by the pathetic Jets. Just saw a Patriots access clip from Belichick's Pro Bowl concession prize for getting slapped in the face in the playoffs again. Anyway, it shows him almost embarrassingly explaining the Jets' loss to a military man, then kissing Revis's ass after a weak pass defense. Then I notice him looking to Ray Lewis for how to stand up and be a man when getting demolished, even though it's a BS game. It seems to me that loss is still burning his ass and hopefully the entire organization. Wanted your thoughts, and I'd love to send you guys lunch. Just need the info. Aaron in Houston. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, on Patriots.com, they have the All Access show that aired on Friday. And they had Bill Belichick wired up at the Pro Bowl. And it's some really good stuff, him interacting with Ray Lewis. And, you know, at that point it was 35-0 in the game. And Belichick says to Ray Lewis, you know, are we worried about, you know, being chumps here? You know, should we be doing something about this? And, you know, interaction that he had with Lewis and Reggie Wayne and Peyton Manning. And it's good stuff. So that's available right now on Patriots.com if you haven't already seen it. Check it out. Check it out. Now, what the hell's going on with my email? Oh, here we go. Let's see.
Check it out.
Guy writes in. This is his name, Guy. I always wonder, like, people who are named Guy. Like,
what's up, Guy?
You know, how difficult a life they have.
Fella?
Being named Guy.
Chief?
You know?
Champ? Sport?
But specifically Guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
I'm big on Guy.
I know
in
French Canadian it would be Guy.
Guy. That's a good point. Guy the flower.
Anyway, Guy writes in. Fred, although you were very funny when reading my email the other week. Oh, this is Guy. This is the guy who hurt his leg and I read his email in the English accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He says, although you were very funny when reading my email the other week, I would tell you that no one really talks like that over here. Dick Van Dyke would have been proud of you. What, is Dick Van Dyke?
I believe he wasn't he in one. What's that movie?
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Oh,
that was a long time ago.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. It cheered me up no end. Anyway, 1 week left until I get.
You almost lapsed into it right there. No end.
Yeah,
you did. I could mind the gap.
Anyway, no. 1 week left until I get this leg cast off, and I think I get one of those Bledsoe type boots to hobble around in.
Oh, excellent!
Nice.
I can give you mine. I'll ship it over. It's up my attic though.
Sure. Now on to my question. Bob Sanders was released on Friday by the Colts. He has visited with Jacksonville. Have the Patriots got or shown any interest? Do you bring him in despite the injury history and keep your fingers crossed that you maybe get 10 games out of him? It would certainly be an upgrade on Merriweather. Paul says no. No way.
I just don't think you can count on him. If you're going to rely on him to have a role on your team, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yep.
That's all. I think he's a terrific player, and I would absolutely be interested in signing him for a low-risk veteran minimum, but I wouldn't be counting on him for anything.
See, I would take a shot, again, if the money's right. I wouldn't guarantee any big money to him. No way. No way. Let's see. Sean writes in. He says, send Pete down to Orlando. There are a lot of Pats fans down here. He can join us on our yearly trip down to Miami. So there you go, Pete. There's an offer. You know, right down in Orlando by Disney World. So, Chris says the Eagles have an interactive digital magazine on Zinio. Have you ever considered putting PFW in that format? Well, possibly.
I don't know what that means. That's a tech talk question for you.
That's remember I was showing you on the iPad. You can flip. You know.
Okay. I guess where that is.
It's well.
What's it called? Zinio.
Well, Zinio is actually a marketplace for magazines online. Okay. So you can go there and Time Magazine, Sports
Illustrated.
Yes,
you did show me that. And that seemed like pretty good.
And you can download those to your computer.
That would be pretty cool.
But we might do something like that. We'll see. We'll see. We got some things we're doing this offseason. Let's see. Fred says the Patriots will be drafting a lot higher than you think. Top 10.
Who said that?
Fred in Halifax.
Oh. Are going to be drafting in the top. So we're going to make a trade.
Yeah,
we're going to package the trades and move in. Hey, listen, I'm not against that. If Belichick finds a guy that he really likes, targets a guy, I like that kind of stuff. I like the aggressiveness there. Now, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know who Belichick would deem worthy of putting a couple of picks together. I think they could get to they could easily get to the top 10 with the picks they have. Absolutely, they could get. I think we worked it out. If you really wanted to get aggressive and trade 17, 28, and 33, I think you could get in the top five. I'm not against. Are you against that?
No.
But it has to be for a special player, and
right.
that's up to Bill.
Sam in Chicago says, hi, Fred, Paul, and Kevin. Speaking of the Rhode Island School of Design mascot, here's a fun fact.
Fun fact.
RISD does have a hockey team. Yes, a bunch of artists would probably not be playing Northeastern anytime soon, but we did play an all-girls school that recently went co-ed like Wheaton. Of note, our hockey's team name was the RISD Nads. So now, just imagine a rowdy crowd cheering for the team during a game. Go Nads! It was fun.
I knew where that was going.
Yes, I went to RISD between 91 and 95 and probably would have seen Eric across ice had he taken control of his future. And they played in the Brown Rink, so that would have been a bonus for him.
Mian Auditorium?
Yeah. Eric in his future. That's a long. That's
oh, his past.
It's a very.
He has a more lamentable past than I do.
Yeah, I worry about Eric.
I do too. Really
lubricants.
You know,
lubricants.
We got to get him a girlfriend. One.
I think that might be number one on the list.
He needs to find happiness in life. Right now, he's
going
to
puss out.
Strippers says, "What Patriots radio I listen to? I listen to PFW and any shows following it. I don't listen to EEI or Sports Hub nor ESPN Radio. It's Patriots.com only and Sirius."
So
that's what Strippers.
Strippers,
says.
Honestly, you weren't the one that sent the text to Toucher and Rich saying that Andy didn't think they were funny to set Andy up on the air when he came on the next week, and they said, "Well, we're getting text messages that you don't think we're funny."
Right.
That had Strippers written all over it.
Yeah, because Strippers likes to cause trouble.
Yes,
he sure does. Sean from Canada, any report on NFL.com? Oh, a report. on NFL.com says the Ravens will release Willis McGahee. Any interest in picking him up?
Yeah, supposedly in order to get him at a lower number. I'm not sure that that's accurate. They might just be wanting to part ways with him. But I read something today from, I believe it was Mike Preston in Baltimore, Baltimore Sun, said that they should be amenable to getting him back at a smaller number. I think he's an important guy for the Ravens offense. I wouldn't just discard him. If
Sean,
I were the Ravens.
Yeah, Sean
I don't said, think, I don't, you know, to me, he's another of what you have.
Right. Sean says, you know, he might be a veteran leader, and he might be someone who could, you know, be here while Mark Ingram gets some experience.
Well, if you have Mark Ingram, why do you want to, no.
You know.
Let Ben Jarvis Green Ellis be the backup to Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I think running back is one of those positions where a guy can come right out of the draft and contribute.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Listen, I think McGahee's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. I think he could do better, and I think there's more versatile guys out there than McGahee too. But I think for Baltimore, I think he's an important guy because Rice is so small that you really don't want, you have to be careful with him. You don't want to give him too many carries. So he gets worn down, and I think McGahee fills a valuable role for that team. I think that'd be a mistake by them if they just let him go. And this is not just about kind of reworking it to a more friendly situation for the team. If it's about parting ways, I would disagree with that move for Ozzie Newsome.
Okay,
what do you think? What do you think of McGahee?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't go out of my way for him. Let's put it that way.
Now, I think he's one of those guys that performs a valuable role for the Ravens, but not necessarily the guy I would go after.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say Taylor's gone and Morris is gone. Ben Jarvis is Green Ellis is here, and they draft a guy. I wouldn't mind, again, having McGahee on the roster, but, you know, he's not an answer to anything, really.
No.
You know?
No.
So, anyway, what else we got here? A lot of combine type emails, guys to look for. One Zach writes in, to quote McShay, Todd McShay, he's talking about entry on ESPN Insider, the Patriots could use help along the defensive line, and Cameron Jordan would be as good a fit as a five technique who could hold up against the run and bring some pass rushing ability to the table.
Despite that fact that Eric wants to draft him as an outside linebacker.
Zach says the Patriots don't need some pass rushing ability. At 32nd in the league on third down, they need a truckload of pass rushing ability and the run-stopping capability to go with it. Looking at Jordan's stats for this most recent year, 6 sacks, 14.5 tackles. No.
Cameron Jordan is not known as a pass rusher. He's a good 3-4 prospect for a defensive end.
Yeah.
And that's not – those guys don't rack up double-digit sack totals very often. Richard Seymour at his best wasn't a 10-12 sack guy.
I am not convinced he's worth a mid-first-round pick. Those aren't eye-popping stats for a player who at this pick should be considered elite. J.J. Watt's 7 sacks for 20 tackles for loss in what was a tougher conference this past year in the Big Ten, and I'm not even convinced he is worth the pick he's projected to get. Just a reminder, Terrell Suggs came out of ASU with the NCAA record of 23 or 24 sacks in one season. I don't think it's too much to ask for an elite defensive end coming out of college, drafted in the first round, to maybe have 9-plus sacks.
Well, those two guys are different positions, though.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt and Cameron Jordan are different positions. Cameron Jordan in a 4-3 would be a tackle. He's going to be a 3-4 end. That's like a defensive tackle. J.J. Watt was more of an outside guy, but certainly not like a Terrell Suggs, who everybody looked at in college and said he could be a 3-4 outside linebacker. He can be an edge rusher. Different kind of players there, totally. If you're looking for a pass rusher, then I agree wholeheartedly with the email. Is it Zach?
Yeah.
I agree with Zach. Those guys aren't what you're looking for as a pure pass rushing type. Those guys aren't necessarily what you're looking for.
Zach says that Ryan Kerrigan is the guy he wants.
So. Yeah, I'll pass. High motor guys,
good
not
to,
not a big
good
fan.
Good to have a car. It's been slow.
Hi ho, we can hear you. Just so you know.
Yeah. let's see what else we got here.
Kevin taking calls in the other room.
At least we have one.
Let's see. Who's this? This is Jackknife, he calls himself.
Jackknife. It's Jack.
Greeting men of PFW, obviously looking forward to the draft, and I wanted to pose the obvious question in a different way. Which position do you think the Patriots shouldn't draft this year? For me, it's cornerback, safety, punter, kicker, tight end, long snapper. And guard, assuming we have Mankins back.
For any spot in the draft,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, I don't think you rule any of those out, really.
Yeah, I mean, I would say safety. I think they're pretty deep at, but that's about it.
Speaking of Wright, he thinks that Wright will be back. Speaking of Wright, how is he? I was rather concerned when Big Head said in a previous show that he couldn't even watch TV. I really enjoyed his play when he was on the field and was very disappointed when he went down. Any news on him?
No, and that's something to be concerned about, especially nowadays. You're starting to hear more and more about these guys, Freddie, that have suffered concussions, serious concussions, and even into the next season, they're still not right. We saw it with the Bruins with Mark Savard. He suffered a concussion last March, came back about 2 months later, participated in a handful of playoff games, and then had the whole offseason without incident, didn't get hit again, had the whole offseason and wasn't ready to go at the start of training camp. He didn't start hit this season until about 15, 20 games in, and then got really an innocuous hit up against the boards and now is out again for the season and could be out for longer than that. So you're starting to see examples of guys suffering a concussion and really never returning, and I think that's something to be concerned about with Mike Wright.
Let's see. Chathu from Sydney, Australia writes, and I was wondering what you would rather see the Pats do if we can't do both. Invest money or draft picks to maintain the O-line to allow Woody and Law Firm to keep the running games respectable, or invest money and draft picks to directly try and improve the run game with a new running back. Or we could create the perfect running back in a gruesome genetic experiment and name him James Hard Mendon Starks Andy. What? I don't know. One last thing. Is Bill Simmons actually not knowledgeable? I have a friend who worships him and would love to be able to burst his bubble.
I think he's extremely knowledgeable in the NBA. Matter of fact, I don't think too many guys out there beat his knowledge of the NBA from top to bottom. I would question his knowledge elsewhere. The other three sports, I think he is just like all the rest of us. He's just a big fan.
As far as, you know, what they should do with the running game, I'd do both. I mean, I think they need to invest draft picks in the offensive line, and I think if there's a running back they like, they should go get him.
Yeah, I think they need to address the offensive line only because of the situation that the guys are in contract-wise. I think you're probably going to lose Mankins, and you have a possibility of losing Matt Light and Stephen Neal. I think you need to address that.
Yeah.
You know, at best, you keep those four guys from Light, Copen, Mankins, and Light. I'm sorry, Neal. Copen, Mankins, and Light. You keep those four guys around for another year.
I worry about Neal, though.
Together. Those four guys together for one more year maximum.
Yeah.
So you need to address that situation and get that taken care of. So you have some young guys that are ready to step in. And worst case scenario, you need to replace three of those guys this year. Neal, Mankins, and Light. All three of those guys could be gone. Worst case scenario.
Let's see, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and Derek from the University of Arizona is on the line. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Derek?
You guys are talking about a lot of things, but I love draft. Draft talk's always fun.
Yep.
So the Northeastern Hockey Talk didn't do it for you?
No, yeah. I'm not very knowledgeable on that. No. So.
It's actually a lot of college hockey players from Arizona, believe it or not.
I'm sorry, what was that?
There are actually a lot of college hockey players from Arizona.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm just not a big hockey fan. I'm more NBA and Vegas NFL. So
who do you like?
Anyway, I just wanted to talk about, you know, what you guys were just kind of touched on, with the running game, the offensive line. When I called in last, it was a few weeks ago, and we kind of talked about it. And do you guys think offensive line is a bigger need than defensive line?
Is offensive line a bigger need than defensive line?
It could be. You know, we just kind of touched upon that.
Yeah, a lot so much depends on Mankins'
situation. Mankins goes, yes, it is. If Mankins stays, then I think defensive line's a bigger need.
I like how Fred reiterates the question to really suck you in. It's very
good. You need some time to assess. and analyze. She doesn't want to be Andy Hart. No, no.
I think it's compelling when he does that. It makes you, it builds the kind of drama.
What's going on Twitter?
Kevin, nothing, you need to learn how radio works, okay? That's how radio, real radio works.
Thank you.
You can't just sit and think without saying anything, but you have to say something because it's all about audio. So
it says Albert Breer just tweeted that the federal mediation and the counselor, whoever that's mediating the talks, has an 86% success rate.
Oh, that's good.
Finding a happy medium.
So what else you got, Derek?
Well, on the mediation thing, do you guys consider is no news good news or bad news?
We said it's good news.
I think it's good news now.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think that at least they're talking and no one's, walked away.
Yeah, I think they would be more apt to ignore the pleas for keeping everything out of the media if there was something bad happening. If one side or the other felt like they were getting screwed in this deal, I think they would be more apt to ignore the wishes of the mediator and go public with it. So the fact that we haven't heard anything to me tells me that they're making some progress.
Yeah, no, I would agree. The other thing is, just quickly touching on the draft, I won't touch too much on, specific players because the combine hasn't actually, happened yet. But this draft seems to be, really deep, and both the offensive line and the defensive line. Also, it seems to have a pretty good number of players projected, to an outside linebacker and a 3-4, and also running back. So, with those needs, I'd probably say four out of maybe the top six of the Patriots' needs. That really about, that speaks well to us for sure.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I wouldn't rule out, them looking at a running back in the first round with maybe the second pick in the first round.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule anything out. I agree with Freddie. I do think that there is some depth at those positions that you just talked about, and I think the Patriots certainly are in position to go whichever direction that they feel necessary. That's why I wouldn't rule anything out.
It's going to be a great, for the Patriots fans, it's going to be a great Thursday and Friday because you've got all those picks.
Absolutely.
It's going to be really fun no matter what they do. And I know people don't like to see when they trade down, but, they've got their way of looking at things, and they figure if I can get the same quality player a little lower and pick up a couple extra picks, why not do it?
Well, Freddie, are you a fan of Mark Ingram?
Whenever anyone talks about running backs in the draft, that's the only guy they talk about. Honestly, I haven't seen enough of him to be like, oh, because I usually look at the running backs and fall in love with somebody else.
Fred usually falls in love with a solid sixth rounder.
No, but look at last year, everybody loves Spiller, right?
Yeah, but he's lots of love.
Yeah, but he's a small guy, and I want a guy
who's a guy who can't move.
I want a three down.
Toby Gerhardt.
I want a three down back.
I don't.
Fred, you might want to keep an eye on John Clay out of Wisconsin. He might be your type of guy.
Why? Is he big and fat?
Well done, Derek. Well done.
Lindale White?
He's better than Lindale White.
248.
He's a big dude. He'll be out of the league in 4 years.
In all seriousness, if he drops some weight and runs a fast 40, who knows? Yeah. At least he came out of a better running system than Jonathan Dwyer did last year, but just keep an eye on John Clay, Fred. That's your type of guy.
Yeah. Okay. Those are the kind of guys that wash out quick. Ron Dane. He doesn't have he won't have the feet. I'll guarantee you.
I mean, running backs are, it's Mikel LeShore, kind of the second running back, late first. Will he break into it? And then there's a lot of guys, obviously Mark Ingram's the top running back. And there's a lot of guys like Shane Vereen, DeMarco Murray. Sorry, strippers, for saying, DeMarco Murray after Shane Vereen.
I like Murray. Andy doesn't love Murray. I like Murray because I think he's versatile. I like the guys that do more than one thing. I don't necessarily need, what Fred wants. Yeah. This big, workhorse guy that can play. Give me a guy that excels at something, and I'll take that.
But is it safe to say that there are no, other than Ingram, because he's the only guy I hear about, there are no blue chip running backs coming
out. I don't think Ingram's a blue chip.
Right. So,
he's clearly at the top of the running back depth chart, but I don't think he's a blue chip guy.
So if a guy, again, we don't know how the Patriots are grading these guys, but if there isn't a blue chip running back, do you even bother looking at them in the first round?
I personally wouldn't.
Would you take any of these guys that are out there, LeShore or Ingram in the first round?
I do not like LeShore personally. I like Mark Ingram. But it might be better for the team if they don't take him in the first round and focus on more of their urgent needs, which would be, you know, outside linebacker or offensive line. Because there are a lot of guys in my eyes that you can get in the second, third, and fourth round that if you pair with Woodhead and Ben Jarvis, could help out in the committee or maybe even materialize into the guide, because running back's one of those positions where you could take someone in the fifth round and all of a sudden they're rushing over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I don't want to invest a lot in that selection, is because there's so many guys. I mean, look, if you could guarantee me an Adrian Peterson or something like that, if I'm taken in the first round, sure, I'll take that. I'm not going to be stubborn to the point where I'm going to pass up a once in a generation type draft pick. But I agree with you, Derek. I think you can get really, really solid guys that can be productive later on without having to waste a first round draft pick on it. I just think that the span of those guys' careers tend to be short, and I don't want to invest so much into it that 4 or 5 years later I have to look for another guy.
Well, when you think about it, even on this team, Robert Edwards and Maroney were first round picks, and Curtis Martin was a third round pick. So,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like I would like to have one of those workhorse. I've said it on the show. I like the all down back kind of situation, the guy. But, this year it just seems just like there are a lot of guys that you can get later. And if, the right guy falls to him at 17, if Robert Quinn and Mark Ingram are both on the board, which would be unlikely at 17, if they're both there, I'd rather them take Robert Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that they should address running back. DeMarco Murray, you kind of touched on, Paul, is a guy that I like because he kind of reminds me of Ahmad Bradshaw. A little bit. He runs really hard. He runs like he's a lot thicker than he is. And he can help in the return game. He can catch passes out of the backfield. Very versatile. So.
Yeah, I like him. Yep. I like him. Yep.
All right.
I don't know. Anyways, guys, have a good one.
Okay, all right, Derek. Keep the co-eds away. Or
don't. Why? He's young. He's only young.
I don't
once.
Want him to get in trouble. Logan.
Do anything to get in trouble.
Logan from Indiana. Usually, I might be. My son had his first real date on Valentine's Day.
What exactly do you mean by real?
They went out to eat, like at CBS Scene, just the two of them. Like, they've been out in groups.
Do you, like, make him.
CBS Scene?
Do you make him support, like, the Patriots organization?
No, he loves CBS Scene.
Oh, man, I have to talk to him.
No, he loves it.
It's not the place to take a lady, though.
Hey,
I know that.
When you're 15 years old, you take what you can get.
So he had a real date. This is the first real date.
Real date. A true date, not with other people. It went very well.
What time did he get home?
Let's see, about 10 o'clock. They went to a movie afterwards.
Didn't go that well.
Didn't go that well.
He's 50. They went to a movie afterwards. So about 10:30, 10:45, I think I picked him up.
That's true. It's tough to have a really good date when you have to have your father come and pick you up.
Right. Right.
That's true.
That's a drawback.
Did you have to drive the young lady home too, Fred?
No.
No, they just left her at CBS.
You didn't carpool?
Her mother picked
Save on gas?
Now, did he go to the showcase for the movie?
Yeah.
He's a Kirsch.
You walk right over.
Company man.
Why go anywhere else?
I don't know.
It's all here.
He was probably looking at the PFW blog on his phone while the movie was going on.
And commenting.
Yeah.
Patriot Place. It's all here.
It's all here.
Is that what they say now?
That's what they're going to say.
It's all here.
That's what they're going
to
say.
They're not all here, but it's all here.
You should have taken her to the hall after the movie, or before the movie.
Private screening of the signature film?
Yeah, I love that film. Makes me cry every time.
Let's see. Logan from Indiana writes, and usually this is my favorite time of the year. I get excited about free agency, the draft, and even franchise tags. It is also my favorite time to read Ask PFW and listen to your show. I love reading the ridiculous trade ideas and free agent ideas that other people have. My question is, what was the most memorable or ridiculous trade idea that you remember answering in Ask PFW?
There's way too many examples. It's gotten to the point where when we get something that's I think plausible, it stands out.
There are that many ridiculous.
Oh yeah, there's far more. Let's trade. Let's trade the first pick of the second round for Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin. Stuff like that.
I saw one. Let's trade Belichick for Carolina's draft. Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
What? Someone wrote that in?
No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, I missed that one. Another thing, Brooklyn Matt, who likes to pick on Andy, our boy Andy,
yeah,
turned his attention to me over the weekend, I noticed.
Oh, yeah?
For blogging purposes, generally, the three of us, Andy, Eric, and I, we have our little things that we put. It's From the Heart, Paul's Calls, and right. Quick Kicks.
Quick Kicks.
Now, that's when, I, for my personal line of thinking, and Andy does this as well, we like to say when we post something that is dealing with some sort of analysis, you know, we're giving, you know, our assessment of what happened at training camp or, you know, a trade that we just made, you know, after the Moss trade last
right,
year, I
right.
think I posted something on the blog.
Reaction.
Yeah, reaction. It's right. my analysis. So Paul's Calls, Moss trade a hit or something
right.
like that. A lot of times we also post on the blog reports that we see other places.
Right.
You know, for
According
example,
to the Globe.
Recently, when we originally tagged Logan Mankins, the first thing that I, first place that I saw that was Adam Schefter. So I put report, Mankins
right.
tagged.
Right.
And I cited Adam Schefter from ESPN.com. There was no Paul's Calls to that. Because it's, I'm just reporting something that somebody else reported.
Right.
It's not my call. I didn't do it.
Right.
So we were getting, Brooklyn Matt was making fun of me saying that, yeah, I was, you know, it was beneath me to blog and put Paul's Calls up there and whatnot.
No.
Nothing could be further from the truth. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing beneath me. I
oh
have
no,
hit,
there's a lot I of have, things beneath you.
Oh no, there aren't. I've hit the low point. There's nothing
wow.
beneath me. And certainly, if I have some sort of analysis that I want to put in there, it's going to include Paul's Calls. Now, Eric, he just put quick kicks for everything. I don't, you know,
right.
I don't really understand his line of thinking.
Well, that's the name of his column. He likes to keep the brand.
Quick kicks.
Likes to keep the brand.
You know, interesting report from the Hartford Current about
right.
Aaron Hernandez. To me, that's not quick kicks. It's not your.
Oh, okay.
It's not your you know analysis. You're just sort of reporting something that's already been reported.
And Brooklyn Matt didn't like that.
Brooklyn Matt doesn't like the fact. He thinks that I'm trying to get another job somewhere, which is always true, but I've been unsuccessful for 12 years. I don't see why this is going to change in year 13.
There's B-Lo, just a cameo appearance. I just saw
Jeffco, too.
What's that?
Jeffco
and his great beard.
Well, what's he doing?
He has a terrific beard.
Yeah. We're down checking out the new studio.
Oh, okay.
Jayco does have a terrific beard, you know.
Yeah, he was listening
to as Freddie has pointed out.
He was
on this
listening
very
to PFW
show.
In Progress, and you know, noticed that Fred would admired it, and I actually cut that piece of sound up.
Yeah,
to
you
give
didn't
to
give
him
my phone number, did you?
No, I didn't. But I mean, I think he wanted.
He thought
to,
that was rather strange. Yeah.
He wanted to peddle that you know little audio clip around to the people that hate on the beard, so he wanted
oh,
to kind of have.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I told you that was had something to do with his wife. I nailed that one.
Okay, I didn't. He's
not
married?
His wife. That wouldn't
he's,
be right.
He is married.
Is he? Does he have
so.
Kids?
I don't believe he has children. But
he is
I think
married.
He did tell me that it wasn't so much the wife that was bothering him about the beard; it was other
oh.
people.
Oh, okay. Well,
Fred Kirsch, so. Big fan.
Beards are in today. Beards and mustaches.
I was just glad he was.
Everybody
listening.
Has facial hair.
Not me.
Except for the people at PFW. None of us have facial hair.
No.
Andy had it for a while.
Kevin
a little bit.
Has it.
But, no,
Kevin
but
has it. He counts.
He's not really PFW.
Oh, okay. Now I see. Now I see.
No, you're Patriots.com.
Okay,
out.
That's fine.
You don't work on the paper.
You're in the dot com.
I wish I worked on the paper.
You wish you worked on the paper.
Yeah.
What would you do if you worked on the paper?
I can write.
Can you?
I can write. Andy, my biggest critic in the world, told me that I can write.
You can always, you know, contribute.
What did you write that he told you you could write?
Well, no,
What did he read?
I showed him a bunch of the stuff because I had my own blog on the 98.5 website for Felger and Mass, and I showed him all the Patriots stuff that I wrote last
year. So you
year.
Had a blog on 98.5 and they still didn't know who you were?
It really is kind of amazing.
Yeah. The picture was ugly, though, Freddie. It didn't look anything like me.
Wow.
It was one of those, they did, the guy who took it was like one of those
well,
professional photographers.
Listen, I really don't care about the picture. I care about the writing. How was the writing?
It was good.
Because we'll incorporate it in.
Because, I mean, Andy.
At no extra charge.
Andy's my biggest critic.
Listen, how would you like to pen monthly a media column?
That'd be cool.
What media column is he going to write?
He could do a media column for PFW.
Okay.
Why are you rolling your
I'd
eyes?
Do whatever the boss told me to do.
Why? No, Paul, isn't that a good idea?
Sure.
A Boston media column? Right?
Go right ahead.
I'll do whatever Fred
What's the
tells
matter?
Me to do.
I just wanted, I wanted noted for the record that I'm anti this.
What is your
objection? We can talk about it at the summit.
Okay. Is he invited to the summit?
Yeah, he's invited
I am.
To
I'm
the
in.
Summit.
I'm on the guest list.
This is where we air all
PR's
grievances.
Coming?
It's Festivus at
PR's
the summit.
PR's coming to the summit?
No, I know that.
But I mean, it
we
might.
Need,
but
I
like
mean,
what Paul
PR
is just
instrumental.
People don't know what we're talking about. I'm having a Patriots content summit here at March 1st to go over our plans for 2011.
Yeah. PR is instrumental in the summit.
Of course,
we need their help.
We need their help.
We can't get to the top.
The time is now, Fred.
But I want to know, what's your objection to a media column in
just
PFW?
Him. Oh, just him. We have a media column in PFW.
Well.
Well, anything like, but like Fred, like the general idea, like something that like once a month or whatever that I could
once a month.
I would like. Yeah. I would very much like.
I just don't want to have to read his stuff.
Oh, wow.
After I was
maybe he doesn't want to listen to your stuff.
I'm sure he doesn't.
I went over and found him at the hockey game. I wanted to go buy him a beer after, and he wanted nothing to do.
You wouldn't
with
let
me
him buy you
game.
A beer.
I couldn't. I was with the family.
Oh,
so
you weren't allowed to drink.
No, I didn't. You can't drink at the game.
Why not?
Well, they don't sell beer.
Oh.
Doesn't mean you can't drink at the game, though.
Oh, so you couldn't go out after.
Yeah, he wanted me to go out after.
I was gonna buy him a Miller Lite.
You don't bring a flask to the game?
Oh, jeez.
No, but I'm
what
sure,
about a catheter?
I'm sure that the kids do. The students do. I'll guarantee that.
Oh, I actually had student tickets, Paul. I was kind of surprised they didn't give you a little pat-down on the way in. They just kind of let you in. And I don't look like anything.
Well,
like
if you
student.
Had a bag with you, you would have been accosted.
Oh, really?
Not allowed in.
No?
You know, you can't bring a bag in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, like a backpack.
Laptop.
Like a lot of their kids, you know, especially like midweek games,
come
like
from
a
school.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
They come from co-op jobs.
Yeah.
They want to go to the game. Now, a Wednesday night basketball game in the middle of a snowstorm, they're lucky if they get 1,500 people.
Yeah.
They're turning people away at the door coming from there. I mean, a guy walks in, you know, with a shirt and tie on and a backpack.
Why don't they just check the bag?
Exactly.
Right.
They're not allowed to bring you in, and they don't have anything set up so they can check the bag. Like, the guy's like, hey, take my bag.
Right.
Check it. Right. Anything you want. No, they're not allowed to.
That's ridiculous. Now, do you have a separate entrance? Do you get a VIP entrance? Huh?
He gets
you, like,
escorted
flash
right
an
to
ID
his
card,
seats.
And you're all set?
Freddie, things have changed over there.
Really?
They yelled at you for standing up.
They did.
Just talking to me for 2 seconds.
That never would have happened. Back
who yelled at you?
The usher.
No one yelled at me.
But they were like, you have to sit down. And Paul was like, take it easy, guy.
Whoa.
I'll be sitting down in a minute.
Uh-oh. If it was a woman, it would have been come to blows.
I love the way he describes these stories. There's about 1% truth.
I got thrown out of the rich seats, and Paul just
went back to his
seats.
Oh, you should have taken photos and put them up on.
I wish I could have. I would have taken a video.
You know,
but
I was looking
too far
for you
away.
After I went back. And
I was sitting like, right across from you. Up on the top, but on the second deck, not the bottom deck.
Up in the cheap, the nosebleed seats.
And given the way the game went, I wasn't like standing up cheering because we only scored once. So, and even the one goal was.
You were really rooting
losing.
For BC, huh?
Yeah, I like BC.
That's a disgrace.
But the thing is,
such a disgrace.
But I grew up the same way.
Unless you go to BC, you root against them.
I grew up the same way with BC, like you did for Northeastern. Like I was always brought to the games as a kid. A bunch of my family went there. Uncle's a lieutenant in the police department.
Do you know any of the players on the team?
On PC Hockey?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who?
Muse is the goalie.
Yeah.
Dumoulin, the defenseman, is a direct cousin to a kid that I live with.
Okay, so you know two people.
Tommy Cross, the kid that scored the game-winning goal in the bean pot, I'm pretty sure. Joe Whitney, Brian Gibbons.
Not in the final, in the semifinals.
Joe Whitney, Brian Gibbons, the Atkinson brothers.
So he knows.
Jimmy
Hayes. He knows a few. Yeah.
Pierre writes in. Hello, Pierre. How are you doing?
You're such a loser.
What do you think about the trading McGinns, and for what? Do you think the Patriots could get a first-round pick?
Now, is that Arnold Schwarzenegger or a French accent?
It's supposed to be French.
That was horrible.
Thank you.
That was worse than your British accent.
Merci for your help in keeping up to date with the Patriots, because Mike Reese seems to have forgotten his blog.
Wow.
He says Mike Reese forgot his blog.
You know,
he could be on vacation.
I think he might be on vacation because he hadn't really updated anything.
He hasn't been on vacation since '93.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
That kid never takes any time off. But he had a couple of posts where I thought they were kind of strange. He's comparing the first three rounds of the draft, the Patriots drafts, the last handful of years with Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and someone else, San Diego, and then he had another one comparing him to the Ravens. I don't exactly know why he's doing that. I'm not sure what the big call was for that, but that's like all he's really updated.
Huh.
And that's unlike
he could be away.
That's unlike Mike. I wonder if he's taking some time off. I know that Ian Rappaport took some time off.
Yeah,
he's just back from his vacation. So yeah, it's a little bit.
Now's the time to do it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a downtime.
Stripper says I've never. Contacted Toucher and Rich.
Wow.
Never.
I thought for sure that was him. It was brilliant, by the way. I was giving you full credit, of course.
Yeah, Strippers and Derek are talking about us on Twitter right now. I'm seeing the tweets blow up, Freddie.
Oh, yeah?
Mentioning Patriots.com. I don't know. We're not trending up? But we're on the top of my news feed here.
Oh, nice. What are they saying?
Those two idiots.
Derek's mentioning that you were talking about strippers inciting trouble.
Well, he's
probably defending himself.
Jim from Eastern Michigan says Eastern Michigan University. Hey, Fred, please tell me that you keep your son far away from the influence of Andy Hart in regards to advice for how to treat a woman. With that said, Eric might not be the guy you want to give advice to your son either. Well, I'm neither one of them. Keep him away from both of them.
You are the boy's father. I would think you would be able to impart your own wisdom.
He doesn't want my advice. Now on to football. I'm the kind of guy that has Von Miller at the top of my personal big board. He's fast and tenacious and would be a force on the outside. Is there any precedent of Bill Belichick trading into the top 15 or so to get what the experts deem as a high-impact player? He has traded up.
He traded from 14 to 13.
Right.
But I don't think he's ever traded into the top 15.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything. I mean,
no.
I think that that's certainly a guy that I think I like Von Miller. I think he's going to be a good player. I want to see more. I want to see more tape of him. But if Belichick, here's the whole thing, and we overanalyze this every year. It's all about what they would or wouldn't do. You have to know what Belichick thinks of the prospect. Like, people just say, there's no way that Belichick would do XXX.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything that would fall into that category.
That's right.
I don't think there's a single scenario that Belichick wouldn't do.
Right.
If he thought it was the right thing to do. If he thinks Von Miller is a top 10 pass rusher, and he agrees with us that a pass rusher is the number one priority, he would do that.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of ifs.
Right.
I don't know if he likes the player as much as I do. I don't know if he likes the position as much as I do. I don't know if he thinks he has to have that position as much as I do.
You can't rule anything out. You can't rule anything out when it's him. Even, you know, going for it on 4th and 13 when you can kick a 48-yard field goal. You wouldn't rule anything out.
Well, that was kind of a gratuitous shot at the head coach right
well,
there.
Well, no. We were just talking about that this morning.
Well, with your boy Brian Morey, who obviously has forgotten all the success this team has had.
Unbelievable.
Which
is
really shameful.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, and what do we hear? The same stuff that we hear from ignorant fans, Fred. Well, I haven't won a Super Bowl in 6 years.
Right. Oh, I can't stand that. I can't stand that.
Paul, Derek just tweeted at me and says, tell Paul I'm not an idiot.
Wow.
No.
Did you call him an idiot?
No. Fred and I are the two idiots, Derek. Fred and I are the two idiots.
I just felt like I would relay that.
Okay.
I've never been tweeted at, I don't think.
Go write him back.
So it's like a side conversation going on Twitter.
The two idiots are Fred and I, Derek. We had a solid phone call from you. Don't be all defensive now.
William writes in, William Roeder from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Might as well give out his email address while I'm at it. Anyway,
why don't you get his Social Security number out there?
If there is no CBA in place before April's draft, assuming all future ones will have a rookie salary cap, does having so many picks in the first three rounds hamstring the Pats financially, assuming they select players in a way that those same picks would or might not in 2012? No, you're right. There may not be a CBA, but even if there isn't, whatever they decide to do with a rookie salary cap will apply to this year's draft. And in fact, Robert Kraft claims that one of the reasons why they did the Seymour deal and waited for 2011 for that first round pick was that they figured there would be a rookie salary cap in this draft. So
yeah, more than likely that will be the case, but it doesn't really affect them either way because you're dealing with the 17, 28, those picks that aren't going to be affected. The rookie wage scale is going to be more important for those top 7 or 8 picks that are getting all the guaranteed money. They're trying to get those numbers a little bit under wraps. They're not necessarily worried about what the second round picks. I mean, it's going to affect the whole draft. I'm not going to dismiss it for the whole draft, but it's not going to negatively impact much for the Patriots, regardless of whether it gets handled and gets fixed now or not.
Let's see. David writes in, just in case Andy and Eric are listening. Here's his list of people he wants them to watch at the Combine. Adrian Claiborne, defensive end. Marvin McNutt, wide receiver. Ricky Stanzi, the quarterback. All of them are out of Iowa.
I like McNutt. I don't really like either one of the other two, but I like McNutt.
Now, Von Miller, we brought him up a little bit. A lot of people really like him. I like him because I want to give him like an old-style talk show call it, you know, the Von Miller Show. It just seems like one of those 50s type shows.
Is that the best you had?
Starring Von
Miller.
Please
tell me you had something else to add.
No, no, that's it.
Okay.
It's like an old style name, Von Miller.
Sure. Okay.
Von.
Sure.
Hey, Von.
Andy's not here, so I'll be the condescending one. Sure.
The Von.
Good, Miller. Fred.
Good.
Let's see. Mike in Pensacola. Hey, Jake and Paul. My question has to do with the draft and the positions that the Patriots might consider. Do you think that the Pats need to draft another quarterback to develop behind Brady and Hoyer for the future? I saw Crompton play a lot at Tennessee, and I don't think he has the skill set or consistency to even be an adequate option as a third quarterback. What do you think of Iowa, Ricky Stanzi, who we just mentioned, TCU's Andy Dalton? I was at the Senior Bowl practices last month, and both guys look good, especially Stanzi. Also, what do you think is the likelihood that the Pats keep both of their first-round picks and then trade the 33rd pick? I think that this pick will generate a lot of interest from other teams, given the new draft format and the probability of players slipping into the second round and increasing the value of the pick into another team. I could definitely see Bill packaging this pick for number one in next year's draft and another low-round pick. What do you think? That's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dismiss any trade possibilities with Belichick. I mean, anything to me is on the board with him. I don't think there's much of a chance that they'll pick 17, 28, and 33.
But
I think there's probably a high percentage chance that one or more of those picks will be
held. But let's say that, you know, at 17 and, you know, my first 17 and 23...
28.
I get two guys that I really targeted, and I got them. I would definitely entertain trading away the 33rd pick for a first rounder next year. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, I think he'll be looking for all that stuff. And he's always looking to bolster the next year's draft. I don't know. I don't know what the players are. It's impossible to know without knowing what he is looking for, who he deems worthy of selection. If there's a guy, if he gets two guys, Freddie, that he loves at 17 and 28, and then the next guy in his board is available at 33, I don't think he's going to trade it.
Right.
You know, I think he's going to pick him. You know, it just, I would be surprised if he took all three of those guys, all three of those picks in those spots. I think the higher percentage chances are that he'll be making some moves and move around a little bit.
Up or down.
Yeah.
Zach says, I'm normally very skeptical of mobile quarterbacks with off-field issues, but I think Cam Newton would be worth the risk for a team in need of a quarterback. This is a guy who didn't just run for 1,000 yards. He ran for 1,700 yards in the SEC, the conference most people agree has the highest caliber of competition.
Yeah.
He also threw 30 touchdowns to 7 interceptions and ran for 20 touchdowns. And the most important stat, I think, is that he won every game he played in and showed he can lead a comeback against an elite defense. In Alabama.
All true.
So long as the rookie pay scale gets reworked so that first-round quarterbacks don't get $30 million signing bonuses, I think he'd be well worth the risk. Well, we talked earlier at the top of the show, Gil Brandt, who is kind of known as the godfather of the draft, says he's going to go first overall. So
yeah, I think that at this point, you know, the fact that he's going to be working out, too, at the combine, I think is going to help him.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a top-five pick. I have some concerns with him, not just off the field. I know that there's some concerns about, you know, he's had some seedy things in his past at Florida with the stolen laptop, and then obviously with his dad, the whole pay for play scam, which I refuse to believe that he wasn't a part of. Those things concern me because that you know it's not about collegiate mistakes. Do you know what I'm saying? This is about character to me. And these kinds of things, and you know, maybe more important than character, even decision making.
Right.
Judgment. It's bad judgment. And if you make, I mean, it's easy to say, well, he's a kid and he made a mistake that a kid would make. That may be true. That's what you find out at the combine. Well, that's what you try to find out at the combine.
Right.
Is this a guy who made a bad decision or is this a bad kid who bad decisions are going to find? And that's what I think what the teams are going to try to learn. It's not an easy thing. That's why there's so many mistakes made.
Yep. It's a very inexact science.
Physically, Cam Newton can play. I don't know mentally if he can play because, like we talked about with Brady, I don't know if you can know that stuff.
Yep. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of a very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress. I forgot to say that.
By the way, Ricky Stanzi, I don't love. Andy Dalton, I like more as a leader and a winner, but physically I'm not sure he has what it takes to be in the NFL. A couple of emailers ago about those two quarterbacks.
Thursday we're going to have Andy and or Eric calling in from the Combine. A lot more draft talk.
We have Andy. I don't think we really need Eric, do we?
Well, Eric might object to
that.
I'm just
saying. I hope he's not
going to tell him you said that. So we'll be back on Thursday, and until then, thanks for listening, and don't forget to download the podcast now.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.